Oh no, we got a guest speaker who didn't show up. A little weird if the preacher wouldn't show up, right? Let me ask you this question, is a little bit of a different thought. What if God didn't show up? How would we feel if God didn't show up in our life here? You can bring up the slides again as it was there. When you don't participate, it gets noticed. Jeffrey notices, I'm sure. I notice it whenever people in my church, whenever they don't show up to be a part of services, I notice. What do you think God thinks when we decide, and He knows, I don't want to get up, I just want to sleep in, or there's something more important on TV, such as sports, that it'll be okay if I miss this Sunday here, instead of getting together when His bride, the church, meets together. Jeffrey kind of introduced me already. I'm his favorite son-in-law who also interned. He comes up with different lists so that nobody's actually a favorite there. Today we're going to be talking about discipleship. A little bit of discipleship leads into fellowship. Discipleship is us working at becoming more and more like Jesus as we grow and mature. And a part of that is, Jeffrey, you've talked about this morning in class, important thing to be here for. Part of it is apprenticeship. You learn to do what the master does, and eventually you are the person who does it. And that's what us as Christians are to be doing, is being like Jesus. Take out a sheet of paper. You're going to be a little bit active here. For those of you who get a little bit bored as the sermon goes on, I want you to answer these questions here. This is specifically to the questions I asked my congregation whenever I gave this lesson, and it applies to what you guys do. Why do you think people don't come back besides worship on Sunday morning? I asked our congregation, why don't you come back Sunday night or Wednesday? I also went on to our Tuesday giveaway and the different things that we go on to. Why do you think people don't come back for those things? It's an important question we ask, and I'm sure Jeffrey would love to know what the honest answer is. What would you like to be a part of the church doing here? Maybe there's something that the church should be doing that maybe you'd love to be a part of that's not going on right now. And what things should the church be doing? Maybe this is a little bit of opening up to Jeffrey of what you think. Not that it's actually correct, but what you think. You're giving him ideas of what to run with here. We'll kind of work on that as we go through here. This is a picture of me as I was growing up. I remember times like this still, actually. I remember one summer, my family decided they wanted to go outside and hang out and just be with one another, my mom, dad, and brother. And I wanted to stay inside and watch a show, finish my show that I was watching. So I didn't do that, but I wanted to. I was going to go out after the show finished. I got up after the show was over, and just at that point, they came in. That is something that stuck with me since that happened when I was so little, of you choose what you do, and you give up other things, no matter what you choose to do. I also remember my dad had this bring your child to work day. It was when I was about this age, my brother couldn't go with because he was, well, about the size of Ash, my son. And I didn't like doing it. Something you'll learn about me maybe is I'm a very introverted person, so much more so now than I was. And I didn't like it because my dad would bring me to the bring your child to work day, and they had this thing where you played out by the playground, and the adults went away, and the kids were there, and I did not know a soul. But I'm very thankful for that, that my dad made me come to that there. I remember thinking, I don't want to go to that, and my dad gave those very warming words that give you comfort. You are going. And I'm very thankful that he did that, because I didn't meet somebody there that I have a lifelong relationship with, but I learned what my dad did for me and my brother. My brother has debilitating asthma. We were in the hospital so much, they knew us on a first-name basis. And my dad did that because it took care of my brother's bills, the hospital bills that we had because of his asthma. And I got to see what my dad did. And it was, he worked in a factory. In the summer, it could get up to 110, 140 degrees. It stayed over 100 even during the winter. But he did that because he wanted to take care of his sons. He also had to go up into the rafters, some 30, 40 feet above, which those were not meant for people to climb on, but there was something that needed fixed, and so he did that. He also did a swing shift. If you don't know what that is every week you go to a different time frame of when you work, so your sleep schedule changes. And he did that for 30 years. I would not know that except for the swing shift if it was not for going to this go with your child to work day or bring your child to work day thing. And I never forgot that. I can never be too thankful for that because of what I learned about what my dad did for me. And as I've grown, I've kind of been happy about this. It's every Sunday and Wednesday is a bring your family to work day for me. And my son, who is in the picture there, loves to play. I'm going to be the preacher. I'm the song leader. I'm the prayer-er. He keeps on getting more R's as he gets older here. But he loves to play act with that here, and I love it because he sees what his dad does and he imitates that. This is true. I've learned this truth here, that no matter where I am cutting out something else. I am cutting sleeping in by being here Sunday morning. I'm cutting out what I could be watching on TV being here on Sunday morning. It's true no matter what you do. And the challenge for this right now is just, are you cutting out the right things? The big thing is, you are missing and cutting out things, but are they the right things? Are they the important things? Family is important. Paying for the bills to take care of your family is an important thing. So that makes your job important. Love and joy and life are important. So what your children do is important. But seeing your children in heaven, is that more important or less important than sports? Is showing them the importance of God and going to heaven more important than the few extra overtime hours that you can get? There are times where the boss says you have to be here or you won't have a job, and I get that. But when are those times really the case? We need to lead the people who are following us, can be our children, can be just people that see us as somebody they want to imitate, they want to be like. What are we leading them to by our example? And that leads us to the point for today, discipleship. Being a Christian at all involves showing up. Are you here when that's going on here? Youth minister took his teens on a retreat out into the woods and everything, and they were playing a game of Would You Rather. You guys might be familiar with this game. It's Would You Rather be locked in a cage with a lion or lick peanut butter off a hobo's foot? Which would you rather? Would you rather shave off all your hair or be locked in your room for a year? Some of us may actually vary on that here. And the youth minister kind of took and made that a little bit leading towards God here. He says, would you rather please God or please human beings? Would you rather serve God, work for God or work for Satan? Kind of changing it around here, and he turned it even more, is what do you think God would like us to do? Would rather. Would God rather you be at worship instead of sleeping in? Would God rather you be among good company or bad company? Would God rather you be committed to Him or not? Would God rather you be reading and knowing His Word or not? Would God rather you be praying each day or not? Would God rather you participate in His family or not? And that's something we need to consider. Is this something we're serious about? Are we going to show up? Not just sit in the pews even. Are we going to participate? Be engaged with our minds as we do these things here. I did this series with my church. It was about discipleship very strongly, but it's about fellowship as well. And discipleship is imitating. It's, I can't think of the word here. Another word for discipleship where you're learning from a tradesman. I can't think of the word still. It's not coming to me. Apprentice. There you go. Thank you. See? Participation right there. A discipleship is very much an apprentice where you're working through learning to do what the master does. A disciple is called to leave behind the old life. And for the disciples Jesus was making, they left behind their life. They left behind their family. They left behind their family job. They may never see their family again because they could die before they return home. And Peter makes the point of this here of, see, we have left everything and followed you. The disciples did that. And for us, we talk about it very strongly when you go through Romans of leaving behind your old life, your old self that you know God says, that's not supposed to be a part of what you do. That is a part of the we participate, we follow Jesus where he leads, leaving behind the old part here. Disciples learned to imitate their rabbi. They actually listened to the same lessons over and over again until they could repeat them, and the rabbi would take a break from their teaching whenever they were teaching in the synagogues and everything, and let the disciple do that. That was how much they learned to copy their rabbi, and our rabbi is Jesus. We are supposed to be working at imitating Jesus as much as we are able to, and we learn to do what he does. They even learned the mannerisms of their rabbi here. And if I can imitate Jeffrey at all, it might be something like this right here, right? We're told, imitate. Copy the things you see Jesus doing. What does it mean to participate? Immediately after a healing on the Sabbath, we get John chapter 5, verse 19 through 20. It says, so Jesus said to them, truly I say to you, the Son can do nothing of his own accord, but only what he sees the Father doing. For whatever the Father does, that the Son does likewise. For the Father loves the Son and shows him all that he himself is doing. And greater works than these will he show him, so that you may marvel. Jesus says right here, I'm doing what I see my dad doing. I'm doing what I see my father doing. I learned to do the things my dad did, and I kind of made a point of it. My son learns to do what I do, or copies what I do. Jesus explains he's only doing what he sees God doing. And the Jewish theologians, which he has a problem, they have a problem with Jesus healing on the Sabbath. He points to it and says, you know, God was at work on the Sabbath, because Jewish theology was, well, if God would stop working, the world itself would stop existing. And so they couldn't really fight that point. But my main point for today is, see what Jesus says, he's doing what the Father does. He's copying what he sees the Father doing. And the Father is showing him what he's doing. Believing in Jesus, to the extent the Bible means us to, is to have one that will drive us to be a part of the church, to participate. Because Jesus gave us the example of he participated. He participated by doing what the Father did. We see he participated in our world. Jesus was called a friend of sinners. We see that he walked among them, he ate with them, he cared about their needs, he spent time with people, and he sought after people. He went and called his disciples, and if you study into that further, that would be something a rabbi would never do. He waited for the disciples to come, bring their big resumes to him, and he would decide. Jesus went looking for his 12 that he brought about. That shows us a little bit about what Jesus does and how Jesus cares for people. And above all, Jesus came into our world and did what he didn't have to do. He participated in our world. And for 34 years, he lived on this earth with the messed upness of this world, and he did it for us. We get 1 Peter 3:18, for Christ also suffered once for sins, for the righteous, for the unrighteous, that he might bring us to God, being put to death in the flesh, but made alive in the spirit. Jesus participated when he didn't have to, on our behalf here. Jesus did it for you. We as his disciples are to learn to participate like he did. I want everybody to know Jesus. Jeffrey has the same one. I want everybody that I come in contact with to know about Jesus. But it won't happen if we don't participate. It won't happen if we don't say, I'm going to imitate what Jesus does. God has deemed this worthy of our time. If you want to open to Hebrews 10, it's going to be a big verse here, I think. God has deemed this worthy of our time, focusing on him and meeting with his people. Hebrews chapter 10. Hebrews reads like a sermon. And so about midway towards the end, you get here's the call to action, here's the application, and it sits so very easily into it here. We get a big statement here, and we had done a study with one of our other teachers of Hebrews, and he called this the three lettuces of Hebrews here, not the romaine and the iceberg, but the let us parts here. And it really stuck with the congregation here. Every time you see, let us, this is what you are to do. This is what Hebrews wants you to see. The writer of Hebrews wants you to see here. Let us hold fast the confession of our hope without wavering. For he who promised is faithful. Who's the one who promised? Jesus. Hold fast to our confession. And let us consider how we may spur one another on to love and good works. Let's push one another onward. Let's encourage one another onward as we're trying to be better and better Christ followers or Christians. And let us not neglect our meeting together as some people do, but encourage one another, especially now that the day of his return is drawing near. And I was brought up, and I learned further on as I studied the Bible, this is not a command, but if you love God, you'll do this. Spur one another on. Come on, let's keep doing this here. To the original audience, it was, they were leaving the faith to go back to being Jews, and the writer of Hebrews says, here, it kind of is, if God is even as remotely important as you say he is, you'll come back to Christ and to his church. You won't go back to being a Jew. You'll stay a Christian. And it very easily applies to us. If God is even as remotely important to you as you say he is, you'll be here to participate because he's that important. Here's an honest truth. We grow. We get new people that come in. We have new Christians who become, or new people who become Christians. And we're learning and growing as Christians. But if our participation hasn't seen much growth, participation meaning be here, are you actually growing and maturing as a Christian if you're not giving God more and more of you? Are your life groups and the other things that go on throughout the week, are they seeing the growth of people are participating because this is important, or is it not? These are important things. What's the point of them? It's not just a carbon copy of Sunday morning with a little less enthusiasm, as Jeffrey always used to say. It's not a copy of that here. It's a less formal time to grow closer to one another. We get to know one another better. And we learn more and more about God. I have a Bible professor who just recently retired, and he told me, I've read the Bible once through each year, along with being a preacher and being a Bible professor. And every time it's still pops out at me as something I didn't notice before. He reads through it every year. He's done that for at least 70 years now. He says, I always learn. I don't think any of us are outdoing on knowing what he knows. So we always are learning. There's a verse in Thessalonians, 2 Thessalonians 3:10. For even when we were with you, this is Paul talking, we commanded you this. If anyone will not work, don't let him eat. And don't worry, I'm making a slightly different point than was brought up here. This verse is about a physical working and eating. But if we don't participate in God's family above 2 hours a week, do you think God's going to bless our efforts of what we're trying to do and fulfilling our desires of what we want in life? No, I think he'll say, I'm not worth the amount of overtime that you work. Is that really what I am worth to you? It's important. The effort you put in will affect how important God is to you. Does he become more important to you or less? Do the people that look up to you see that in your life by what you do? It's an important thing there. I say that with my sons. I make a point of it with my children whenever I'm at my home congregation. Is I hope my sons see the best of me. But to do that, I got to put forward the best that I can do. We've all got to do the same thing as well. If we want people who we love to know Jesus, we need to be that committed to that here. There's other ways to do this here, but very strongly, live the example. The elders that I work under don't require me to be here any certain amount of times on Sunday night and Wednesday. And I brought up this point, I think it's the truth here. They know that they don't have to. I want to be there. I want to participate. I love and am encouraged by being there. And I think they see that. And I want that to be what it really is in my heart is, this is important to me, so I'm going to show up there. Is that how God is to you? It doesn't matter if it's required or not. I want to do what I can for God. I want to show love to God here. Remember, Jesus participated for our benefit. And one of my elders says, calls us to come to Jesus moment. He said to ask our congregation, I think it would apply here as well, what do we have to do to see you here? What do we need to change and make more interesting or whatnot for you to be here? And he said the follow-up question you can't forget is, for you to think is, should that be necessary? How important is God? Kind of a reminder, write down those, answer these questions here. Why do you think people don't come back? Is there some reason that we might be able to look at and figure out why? If you don't show up, what is lost? Do you know the answer to that? If you don't participate, what do you lose out on? We lose out on time with you. You look at life, time is precious. We seem to really notice it we do a timekeeper to keep things exactly in time so we don't miss out on anything. How will you think of the time you gave God at the end of life? Will you think, I should have gave God more time or should I have given him less? I don't think many people have ever come and said, I should have given God less. I gave him too much. What do you gain by not coming? A little bit of extra time watching TV or a little bit of time sleeping in. Can you remember the show you stayed home for a year ago or half a year ago? Can you even think of the shows that you watch? Those of you who do come on Wednesday, do you remember the shows? Did they benefit you in any way? But the church does benefit you. What have you lost not being here in the past? What have you missed out on? Maybe a TV is not your thing, but what have you missed out on in the past of not being here? Do you realize what you missed by not being a part of the church? If you don't, I'm going to challenge and say, I don't really know if you see what you're missing because you are losing out if you're not here. I'm not talking about salvation, but the joy we are all seeking of, we're trying to find fulfillment in this life. Jesus uses so many I am statements from John, saying, I am the source of fulfillment that you need. You may not know it yet, but I am what you need. And I use this illustration as well here. If your kids did the same thing of all the things that you want in the time frame that you do for God, would you accept their statements? Of them saying, my parents are the most important people in the world, but you only give them as much time as you give God. What do you think your answer would be? Or, I always give mom and dad way more than enough, and you think about if they're giving me as much as I give to God, what do you think your answer would be? Do you think that's enough, or do you think I would love more time with my kids? That being said, I want to invite you to come participate. Come back and be a part of the things that are going on in the church when they meet together. What are you willing to do for Jesus? I've used this spectrum as kind of a illustrate a point here. It's a discipleship process of maturing as a Christian, and I always kind of apply it to, okay, what we're talking about today is participation. Where are you on the spectrum of participation? Are you spiritually dead? In other words, you're not a part of the church. You're probably not even here if you are. Are you an infant? Somebody who, I'm here on Sundays, but that's about it. Are you a child of, I'm working on it, but I don't really make God a priority throughout the week all the time? Maybe you're a young adult, and this is important to me. I do make as much time as I can for God. Maybe you're an adult here, a parent. You're teaching others to see it as just that important. Where do you fall on the spectrum? God doesn't leave us helpless. He gives us things and he begs us to use it. You look at Matthew 25, the parable of the talents. Here, the talent is a sign or a word for money, but it's ironic that it's used of, we use talents or abilities today. God has given us so many things, and you see at the end with the one who put it in the ground and did nothing with it. There's an expectation. There's an expectation that we use the talents that we are given. All companies have a mission statement of what they're trying to do. We as Christians have a great commission. Go into all the world, make disciples of all nations, teaching them to obey the Father, the Son, and the Holy Spirit. I messed that up completely here. Maybe I should just read it there. Go therefore and make disciples of all nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, teaching them to observe everything that I have commanded you. Go, teach, bring people to experience Jesus, and then serve them by teaching them to serve others. God continues to participate in our lives, and He expects us to participate. We are image bearers of Him. And this is a great quote here of what you do as a Christian. Do all you can to preach the gospel, and if necessary, use words. People should see your life is different than others because of your commitment to God. And if necessary, when you're given the chance, tell them, hey, I obey Jesus because I love Him. I obey Jesus because here's what He's done for me. Let me show you what I know of Jesus. Let me show you how Jesus has changed me. If you're neglecting your call, or you are neglecting your call, if you're not doing something for God, we all can do something for God. And that's our point. Discipleship, being a Christian, is participating. Being here when the church meets together, doing what we learn about, what Jesus tells us we need to do, what Paul teaches a Christian needs to do, what Jeffrey brings up and says, that's a good idea. He really wants you to try and do it. We need to move from proximity to one another, of we sit next to each other, but I might know your name too. I know what's going on in your life, so I can see when things are going wrong, I know. And I can say, hey, something's not adding up. What's going on? Are you struggling with something? But we look and we say, I mess up too much. We get in the Great Commission two encouraging thoughts from Jesus. He says at the beginning, all authority in heaven and on earth has been given to me. I'm in charge of this here. And He ends with, I am with you always to the end of the age. It's a promise of Jesus is going to be with us. Getting to heaven is not based on attendance. But I do want to bring out an important point of attendance does show just how important something is to you. Are there shows you miss? Probably not. If not, you probably record them. How important is Jesus to you? The church is the bride of Christ. And I love it when people say, oh, AJ, you're amazing. I just love hearing your sermons and everything. But I would be thrown off if somebody would say, I like you, AJ, but I don't like your family, which I know is never going to be the case. They probably would say it the opposite way. If I like your family, I don't like you, AJ. But it's the same way with Christ. So many people in our world today are saying, well, I love Jesus, but I don't like His family. I love Jesus, but I don't like His bride, the church. I've been pushed away. I don't want to be around her, but I want to be around Jesus. How do you think Jesus takes that? I think you need to see we are part of God's family. People look and say, well, I don't want to participate. How do you think Jesus takes that? Do you think He's offended by saying, I don't want your family? Let's get serious about how much love we have for God. Let's get serious about what commitment we make in participating for God. Consider this week, what is your next step as a Christian? What is your next step in knowing about Jesus? Maybe you are not a Christian and you say, I want to know more. The next step would be study. Jeffrey would love to set up a study with you of knowing more about Jesus. Maybe you are a Christian and this might be a little bit of a refresher. Let Jeffrey know. Maybe you are a Christian and you're saying, I've not been doing what I know I need to do. I want to challenge you. Your next step is take action. Participate like you know you should. Maybe you're not a Christian and you know you need to be a Christian. Take action. Talk to Jeffrey about becoming a Christian. We can help you in any way with that here. But I want you to consider these thoughts. Consider them all week and consider them until you're ready to take that next step. Let us know what we can do to help you along that way. But consider these things as we stand and sing this last song.